Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you gotta do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653 or gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon Just the News family. Hello, America, and welcome to the Sunday brunch edition of John Solomon Reports. That's right. It's time to ease into Sunday. I know there's some football, maybe some wine sipping or driving through the mountains and looking at the colors changing on the trees. But if you're listening, whatever you're doing, first off, thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting Just the News. Thanks for making John Solomon Reports a success. We try to have a conversation and get you facts and then let you make up your own mind. And today, we've got the perfect lineup to accomplish that. First up, Congressman James Comer, the ranking Republican on House Oversight Committee, the man who could be its chairman in just a few short weeks if Republicans win the November elections. He's here to talk about what's at the top of his agenda. And let me tell you one of the things that is, this is one of the headlines. Republicans are doubling down and they're going to investigate federally sanctioned censorship. They want to get rid of it. James Comer is going to talk all about that on the election. Then we're going to do a wrap-up of what was an incredibly dramatic week on the Igor Danchenko trial, the last trial, most likely, for Special Prosecutor John Durham. Bombshell after bombshell that really put the FBI on trial right alongside Igor Danchenko, the Russian analyst accused of lying to the Bureau. The Steele dossier, the FBI, the Crossfire Hurricane team, all come out of the first week of the trial as big losers. And one guy who knows how to call it straight, former FBI Assistant Director for Intelligence, Kevin Brock. He's here joining us. Had a great conversation with him. You're going to like that. Then we're going to take a tour into Pennsylvania, the Keystone State, where some of the most important races, in fact, where the U.S. Senate control may ultimately be determined. We've got Doug Mastriano, the Republican nominee for governor, talking about all going on in that state, including how crime has become an undertow to the election issues in that state. A big one there. Then Ali Safavi, he is one of the longtime leaders of the Iranian resistance movement, the Iranians who want to restore their country to freedom, to rip it from the hands of the mullahs. He is a leader in the National Council for Resistance of Iran. He's going to join us to give us an update on nearly the 30th day. We're almost 30 days into these mass protests, mass strikes, mass rebellions inside Iran. The mullahs are in big trouble. And Ali Safavi is going to tell us why and what America and what the West and what Europe can do to support these protesters. This all started with the killing of a young, innocent, beautiful Iranian girl beaten to death because she let too much hair show underneath her headscarf. That is something that should never happen, no matter what part of the world we're in. And then we're going to wrap up with a little country music from one of country music's biggest stars, one of its most politically incorrect, freedom-loving, free speech endorsing country music stars, John Rich here. We interviewed him when he hosted a big party this weekend celebrating his new number one hit, which, by the way, was launched through Truth Social. We're going to get an update on that from John Rich and all the issues around cancel culture and censorship in America and even in country music. One of the things that John Rich has told me, and hopefully he'll say it on the interview, you know what? Country music has gone woke. Not the singers, not the songwriters, but the industry recording artist people, the people who control the music studios, the radio stations, they're disconnected, he says, from their audience. We're going to see what John Rich has to say about that. All right, let's get started. Quick commercial break with all of our great sponsors, advertisers, and partners, and we will get rolling right when we come back. James Comer, the man likely to be the next House Oversight Investigative Chairman, right after this message. Hey folks, if you're a homeowner and you're like me, you want to protect your home, right? But when's the last time you checked on the title to your home? If you never have, listen to this. A new report on homeowners shows we all now have $16 trillion in equity. That's an all-time high in America. That's why you need protection from a scam the FBI calls house stealing. That's when the equity in all of our homes is the target, sadly, of scammers. If nobody's watching the title to your home, these scammers can transfer your title to their name, take out loans, and your equity could be gone. Poof, gone. You have to protect your equity from this despicable crime right now with triple lock protection from my good friends at HomeTitleLock.com. The first step is to check on your home's title to see if it's still in your name. Sign up with your address at HomeTitleLock.com and be sure to use the promo code JUSTNEWS. They're going to send you a complete title scan of your home's title and your first 30 days of triple lock home title protection. That's legendary protection, by the way. It's free. HomeTitleLock.com. Use the promo code JUSTNEWS. One more time, go to HomeTitleLock.com today and protect your most important asset, the equity in your home. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain, and you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at TakeLean.com. That's TakeLean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at TakeLean.com. One more time, TakeLean, L-E-A-N.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. Congressman James Comer, ranking member of the House Oversight Committee. He's got a lot of big plans to make sure we keep free speech, well, free in America. Congressman, great to have you back on the show.
Thanks for having me on again, John.
Great honor. You are doing a lot of work in preparation for the new Congress. We've had this report in the last week about the Election Integrity Partnership working with federal agencies to censor things during the 2020 campaign. We've got the lawsuit in Louisiana bringing out federal complicity. What's next on your plate in trying to gather the evidence to find out what the government was doing on the censorship front?
Well, as you all have done a great job proving, the swamp continues to collude with big tech and woke private entities to censor conservative views and censor stories that would be damaging to their liberal beliefs. And this has to end. And what makes it even worse is they're using tax dollars. Now, every government agency is trying to have a ministry of truth, so to speak, a division paid for with tax dollars to try to promote their disinformation and block factual conservative information. So when it pertains to tax dollars, then it's going to be in front of the House Oversight Committee. And this is an issue that now is squarely going to be in front of the House Oversight Committee. It's a priority for my committee members. We're sick and tired of having to battle with big tech and these government agencies in censorship. It's against our First Amendment rights. It's wrong. It's abuse of tax dollars, and it has to end. And the people who have been doing this, they were doing this and they weren't authorized to do this. They need to be held accountable.
Congressman, I want to stay on this topic of censorship and disinformation and things like that. For a long time, we were told that the Hunter Biden laptop was dis or misinformation. And a lot of things have been revealed from that. I think that Joe Biden has been protected by mainstream media to some degree. These great supportive dad voicemails and all of the issues pertaining to Hunter Biden's drug problems. But there's a whole nother realm of issues that I imagine you are going to want to tackle in the new Congress, these overseas deals, Rosemont Seneca, CEFC, Burisma, all of these. It seems like the charges put forth against Hunter Biden, or that will likely be put forth, seems like those pale in comparison to some of these other issues that I know you've spoken about. Are you going to tackle those in January?
Yes. And what we're hearing out of the Washington Post and the rumors that we're hearing, what Hunter Biden is going to be indicted on, this is small potatoes. Lying on a gun application, tax evasion, these are things that we've known about for a long time. I don't really care about those things. We're investigating Hunter Biden not to get Hunter Biden. We're investigating Hunter Biden because he's a national security threat. And, you know, when CNN interviews the president of the United States last night to talk about Hunter Biden, and they talk about his gun violation, and they don't mention the millions of dollars that he received from a Chinese energy company, which is now the American version of Enron. It's folded because it was, completely filled with cooked books. And then you look at the millions of dollars he received from Russia, and who knows what went on with that Ukrainian energy company. All these millions of dollars of transactions with our adversaries around the world. This is what is important. You know, it's illegal to be an undisclosed foreign agent. That, to me, is what it looks like Hunter Biden and Hunter Biden's uncle Jim have been doing for years. They've been profiting off the Biden name. They've been serving as a lobbyist for foreign countries and for companies that normal Americans wouldn't be allowed to do business with, to try to help them navigate the government bureaucracy. That's a lobbyist. That's what we call a foreign agent. You, number one, you have to be disclosed. You have to be registered to be a foreign agent. But number two, and this is the big problem for Joe Biden, it's illegal for immediate family members of high-ranking government officials from Congress all the way up to the vice president and the president of the United States to have family members who are foreign agents. So this is a big problem for Hunter Biden. We've mentioned the 150 bank violations that he has. That's the banks notifying the federal government that we're pretty certain our client has committed a crime. These are the things that we're looking into. These are serious accusations. This isn't just some little nickel-dime, he lied on an application to purchase a gun. These are serious, serious crimes and that pose a risk to every American. You know, when you see Joe Biden have an America last energy policy that's China first and America last, you wonder, why is he doing that? Maybe it's because he's compromised because of his son's shady business dealings. So these are the things that we're going to look into in a Republican majority. These are the things that we're going to use our subpoena power to try to get to the bottom of, to determine for the American people if, in fact, Joe Biden's been compromised because of Hunter Biden's shady business dealings.
Yeah, such an important storyline for the American people to have. And they didn't get it in 2020 because of censorship, right? The FBI, according to Mark Zuckerberg, we have the FBI, State Department, Homeland Security Department, private entities that were working with them. Robbie Mook, former campaign manager for Hillary Clinton, he's got a partnership that's working with the agencies. Between now and when Republicans potentially take control of these committees, will you send any preservation letters? Will you try to get evidence protected and preserved even before the new Congress comes in?
Yes, sir. We've already done that. We've requested about 520 specific documents. We've asked for those documents to be preserved. We've requested the documents, and the administration never responded. So on November the 9th, assuming the election goes our way, and we have a red wave and we flip the House of Representatives, then we're going to send another letter just to remind them, John, that we've already requested these documents. We expect them to be preserved and then presented to us the first week of January when we take the majority, because these are going to be priorities for our Republican Oversight Committee.
That's important.
Good. So no excuses. No, the dog no ate excuse. My preserved papers. I wanted to ask you about the optics and the politics of things, especially pertaining to this Danchenko trial that's ongoing. When the Russian narrative first emerged, the court of public opinion, especially on the left side of the aisle, basically already convicted President Trump. Even with Robert Mueller's investigation, when he didn't find anything, it still didn't change public opinion. And it still hasn't in some sectors of American society, because I still hear Russia, Russia, Russia. Hmm. With this trial, with the revelation of the $1 million to corroborate a dossier that ultimately couldn't be corroborated, and therefore no $1 million from the FBI, does it change public opinion? And honestly, at this point, politically, optically, does it matter if it changes public opinion?
Well, unfortunately, I don't think it changed public opinion a lot, but that's going to be our job in oversight and in Jim Jordan's job on the Judiciary Committee. We're going to have these people in front of the committee, and they're going to explain why they made the bad decisions that they made. Why did they put so much emphasis on the Steele dossier when we now know it was complete fiction? How did they not figure that out? Were they incompetent? Or did they just make a mistake? If so, who's going to be held accountable? These are the questions that we have. And then why did you offer him $1 million to prove a document that you've been using for the past 4 years to try to persecute the sitting president of the United States. I mean, there's so many things that are bad here with what the FBI has done with respect to the Russian disinformation campaign led by Adam Schiff. So I think that it's our responsibility on day one to provide credible oversight to answer these questions, to give people an opportunity. That's right. Be fair and balanced. Let them explain what happened.
All right, folks, don't go anywhere. When we come back, Kevin Brock, former FBI boss, he's going to make sense of the Danchenko trial and all the things we learned about the FBI this week. Folks, if you owe back taxes, fair warning, you're not going to like this. The IRS is mailing millions of pay-up letters. Millions, I say. Then it's up to the 20,000 new IRS enforcement agents to find you. Why the IRS targets you and not millionaires? Well, because millionaires have tax lawyers. You don't. You'll pay up. Plus interest and penalties. You need Tax Network USA, and you need them now. Tax Network USA has brilliant war room strategies to solve your IRS problems quickly and in your favor. Like a preferred direct line to the IRS, they know which agents to deal with and who to avoid. It's not all bad news for you because Tax Network USA learned of a special limited time IRS offer. They're willing to waive $1 billion in penalties if you qualify. So schedule your free confidential consultation to see if you qualify for this limited time IRS penalty canceling offer. To do so, call 1-800-245-6000. That's 1-800-245-6000 or visit tnusa.com/justnews. That's tnusa.com/justnews. Folks, eat stress-free this spring. How? With Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. That's great for a busy person like me. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options, including popular options like Calorie Smart, Keto, Protein Plus, or Vegan and Veggie. Also, discover more than 60 add-ons every week, like breakfast, on-the-go lunch, snacks, and beverages to help you stay fueled and feel good all day long. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for your Springtown goals. Why do I use Factor Meals? Well, it's real simple. I'm busy, but I want to eat healthy. And if it only takes you 2 minutes, I'm all in on healthy eating. And the best part is that Factor Meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you got to do is simply heat and savor the good stuff. Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus. I love asparagus. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50 and use the code justnews50 to get 50% off your first month plus 20% off your next month. That code, one more time, is justnews50 at factormeals.com/justnews50. What are you going to do? You're going to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. That's a great deal. One more time. Head to factormeals.com/justnews50. Use the promo code justnews50 for half off your first order. Welcome back, America. There's been an extraordinary storytelling going on in a federal courtroom in Alexandria, Virginia. Unfortunately, a lot of Americans aren't seeing it because the mainstream media is not covering it. But the trial of Igor Danchenko is more than just a case against the man accused of lying to the FBI. All along, Special Prosecutor John Durham has used this trial to tell us of the flaws, the failures, the omissions, and the downright lack of curiosity that the FBI showed in full display during the Russia collusion case that began 6 years ago. Helping us make sense of some bombshell revelations this week is our good friend, the former FBI Assistant Director for Intelligence, Kevin Brock. Kevin, great to have you back on the show.
Always good to be with you, John. Thanks for having me.
It's an honor to have you on. I want to ask you about something that occurred last night and again today. Revelation that there was an analyst on the team that validates sources, checks to see if sources are telling the truth or not, that warned her colleagues in the FBI that Igor Danchenko might be a Russian agent injecting disinformation into that. It's so extraordinary because through 2 years ago, we learned from some declassified documents that the CIA gave an identical warning about Russian disinformation coming into the Steele dossier, the network. What are your thoughts? I know you've seen some of this. What are your thoughts on that warning and the fact that maybe it wasn't heeded so closely?
Well, it's first of all, I was heartened to see that the FBI has actually created a confidential human source validation unit.
Yeah.
That didn't exist when I retired. And as you know, I helped lead an effort to rewrite the that whole program, confidential human source program. And one of the things we stressed was the importance of validating, corroborating sensitive information provided by a source, particularly if it's going to be used in an affidavit, such as it was in this case for a FISA affidavit, one of the most sensitive affidavits you can write. So I think the startling thing is that you have an agent in that validation unit pressing one of the case agents, Crossfire Hurricane, on this issue of validating the information that was information, the rumors that were present in the Steele dossier document, and insisting that more work needed to be done. And she kind of got the Heisman. She kind of got the stiff arm by the agent, and they really didn't do the due diligence that was necessary for such a high profile, important case like this.
Yeah, it's really amazing in some of the cross exams and the redirects. Durham just goes out of his way to say, you didn't check social media, you didn't check phone records, you didn't listen to the warnings from the CIA. It seems as though the people that worked on the Crossfire Hurricane team had an utter lack of curiosity about whether what they were being told is true. I know that's not typical of the FBI. I've met so many amazing agents who put everything into their cases. What do you think is going on when there was this much willful blindness and sort of laziness going on in the case?
I think you're using too many benign words. This to me signaled desperation. The Crossfire Hurricane investigation, as you and I have discussed many times, it was not adequately predicated, no matter what Michael Horowitz says. And so they were looking for a way to uncover facts and develop a narrative that would fit their foregone conclusion that somehow there had to be collusion between the Trump campaign and the Russian government. And they couldn't do that. So all of the things that are coming out in this trial indicate to me, and it's sad for me as a former FBI agent to listen to all of this, but indicates to me almost a desperate attempt to create a case where one really didn't exist. That would be fine if, in fact, they weren't going to intrude upon, and a FISA warrant, understand, is highly intrusive. It's an electronic surveillance of everything in your life. They can put microphones in your house and in your bedroom under this warrant. And to use information that wasn't corroborated, wasn't validated, and then not tell the court about it was a gross miscarriage of responsibility and FBI authorities by this tightly held Crossfire Hurricane team. And one other point real quick, John. This affidavit didn't go forward. It went forward four different times. Didn't go forward just because a case agent put it forward. There were many eyes laid on this affidavit all the way up the chain, up through Peter Strzok, Andrew McCabe. I have to believe the director actually signed off on it.
Right.
So hopefully he read it. And nobody raised an issue about the fact that this source was not, the information wasn't corroborated. They called the source reliable in the past, but there's two tracks for vetting a source. Number one, is the information that the source provides accurate? Number two, does the source act in a reliable way? That's two distinct things. Just attesting to a source's reliability doesn't establish whether or not their information is any good.
Yeah, that's such a great point. And that's what the validation team is for. And then that advice gets ignored. There's an incredible moment in the trial where one of the case agents who's handling Danchenko is asked, you guys had a counterintelligence investigation of this guy, and yet you told the court you had no derogatory information. First he says, I missed it the first time. And he said, well, you learned about it at some point. Did you ever bother to tell the court? And he says, no. I mean, the honor system wasn't even honored a little bit when you hear these answers. Your thought on that?
Yeah, it was more than derogatory information. The Bureau had pretty much established that Igor Danchenko was, if not a known intelligence officer of the Russian FSB or GRU, certainly suspected of acting on their behalf. He was essentially a spy here living in the country, working at the Brookings Institute, trying to get people there who were going into the Obama administration to provide him information for which he would pay them.
Right.
That's classic espionage. I mean, that's tradecraft. So that's more than derogatory information. That's something to be worried about. And the court deserved to know that information.
Yeah, it's amazing. There are three moments. The moment when the CIA warns the FBI and the president, President Barack Obama. This is coming from Hillary Clinton, too, when the CIA says, hey, I think the Russians have infiltrated the steel network. And three, when the analyst says, hey, Igor Danchenko looks like a guy feeding Russian disinformation. Three stark warnings that yelled stop, yet no one stopped. Got about 30 seconds left. How do we fix this? How do we make sure this doesn't happen again?
First of all, to borrow a phrase from the 51 intelligence community executives who signed that letter, this has all the classic earmarks of a Russian information operation run through the Hillary Clinton campaign, yep. Not the Donald Trump campaign. How do we resolve this? This is going to call for some reforms, I'm sure. And once in all likelihood, there's a change of power base in Washington this coming fall. The Bureau is going to be probably held to account to answer for many of these things. But in the meantime, Durham is exposing a lot of things that the nation should be grateful that he is exposing.
Oh, yeah. He's done an amazing job telling us the story, just like you predicted he would before these trials started. Kevin, always an honor to have you on the show. Thanks for helping us make sense of this.
Of course, John. Good to see you.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, Doug Mastriano, the Republican nominee for Pennsylvania governor this year. That's one of the most closely watched bellwether races in America. We'll see what he has to say about what voters are telling him are the most important things heading into the midterms. Don't go anywhere. We'll be right back after this commercial break. Hey, folks, as we approach another critical election, a wave of concern washes over America. Recent studies reveal that an astonishing 56% of our fellow citizens report feelings of anxiety or dread about the upcoming presidential election. That's why I stand with AMAC. AMAC is more than a senior discount organization. During these challenging times, they fight for common sense and hope that our nation returns to traditional American values. Visit amac.us/justnews today to seize an exclusive election year special, a 4-year AMAC membership for just $30. That's right. You heard me right. 4 years for $30. As an AMAC member, you're not only enjoying money-saving benefits, but also the AMAC magazine, free Social Security and Medicare advice, a trusted voice in Washington, and a community of like-minded patriots who love this great nation. Take advantage of this election year special. 4 years for $30 and be part of the solution over the next 4 years. By becoming an AMAC member, you're strengthening a movement dedicated to preserving the principles we hold dear in this great country. Join now at amac.us/justnews. That's amac.us/justnews. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-GOLD Gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold, or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon, Just the News family. Welcome back, everybody. We're going to stay on this issue of law and order. One of the candidates soaring in the polls in Pennsylvania has made law and order a big part of his solution for a state that's wary of it. It's got Philadelphia, it's got Pittsburgh, it's got crime everywhere. Senator Doug Mastriano, now the Republican nominee for governor, he's joining us, and he's got a plan that's been selling really well with the voters of Pennsylvania. Senator, great to have you back on the show.
Thank you, John. It's great to see you. Thank you, Amanda.
We have watched you put together a real law and order plan, and we're seeing people in Pennsylvania resonate around this. They're tired of the crime. They're tired of letting criminals out and have that revolving door. Tell us the messaging that's been working for you, the ideas that voters say, that's what I want.
Well, actually, you know, Democrats' failed policies are speaking, you know, volumes for us. Even the media, which is obviously rooting for the other team there, can't deny that there's 1,000 carjackings nearly already in Philly this year, that there's we're on track for 600 homicides in Philly this year, that we're the fourth highest in fentanyl deaths, that about 10,000 criminals have been released early by my opponent and the administration as well. And they see this breakdown of law and order. We saw what happened we see the cold-blooded killings on the streets of Philly almost every night. Three officers serving a warrant today were shot. Thankfully, they're okay. We saw the chaos in Wawa 2 weeks ago where 30 kids went in there and did $10,000 worth of damage. Saw the shooting after a football game a week and a half ago. My wife were in Kensington in Philadelphia. That's the only open-air drug market where people are really like zombies, freaked out on fentanyl. As Bernie said, every state's a border state. We're losing 12 to 15 people a day to fentanyl poisoning in Pennsylvania alone. And so my policy is very clear. We're actually going to deliver on results. You know, Philadelphia is the birthplace of our nation, but it's just filled with crime and disorder, and we're seeing the chaos here. So on day one, we become a law and order state. Our law enforcement will know culturally that I have their backs, but additionally, I'll be working with the House and Senate to make sure we up the number of law enforcement that are out in the streets and fighting to defend the communities that they'll have the resources they need. Additionally, I'm looking forward to getting authorization from the General Assembly to serve special prosecutors in the Philadelphia and other high crime areas. So if you do the crime, you're going to do the time.
Wow, that'll be a big deal.
Incredible. And, you know, I just think to myself, if you do a Google search of crime in Pennsylvania, but specifically Philadelphia, I think it's like 3,300 shootings in Philadelphia just this year alone. Obviously, the Wawa incident that took place a couple weeks ago, three cops in Philly shot this morning. And I think that something like 50% of homicide cases end up going cold. Your opponent is ostensibly the top cop in the land. He's supposed to be in charge of crime as attorney general. Do you think that voters across Pennsylvania, Democrat voters who maybe voted for him for AG, do you think they're making the connection between crime and a dereliction of duty?
And that's the right term to use. He is derelict of his duty. You know, he's abandoned his posts. He's unfit for office because he has one job, and that's to enforce law and order in a state, and he's turned his back on the people, the entire state. You know, I'm making a special appeal in Philly because Philadelphia has been underneath a Democrat mayor for 72 years, 58 years of a Democrat city council. And so every 2 and 4 years, politicians like my opponent here make all these empty promises, but the communities are no safer. And so the gravediggers, and who's being hit particularly hard in Philadelphia, the Latino populations and African-American. And so my appeal is, you've tried the Democrat Party. You gave them 72 years, and it's become more dangerous. The gravediggers say they can't keep up with the amount of dead teens that they're laying to rest as a result of this lawlessness in Philly. So it's time for a change, and Doug Mastriano is going to come in, and he's going to defend your communities as he did, you know, in uniform, as I did in uniform for 30 years. We're going to continue that service and make sure that you have a chance to live in peace and safety rather than looking over your shoulder and wondering if some, you know, random gunman's going to come after you.
Yeah, that's it. And tourists have the same fears as the locals. It's scary because it's such a beautiful city, but they're afraid to go to these cities. Now, Senator, you just said something. I want to follow up on it because I think it's a really a big idea that people are just starting to come to grips with. These district attorneys that have dishonored their office, they're not enforcing the law. You want to get legislative permission to create special prosecutors that can come over the top in those cities and prosecute the crimes that the DAs aren't, right?
That's exactly what the plan is. We have to do something. We can't stand aside. So our attorney general is not doing his job. So that's okay. We'll do it for him, and I'll have the authorization from the General Assembly to do so.
Yeah, that's a big idea.
Yeah, federal prosecutors have turned into federal pacifiers, and it's happening in blue cities across America. I wanted to ask you, with respect to your big election, mail-in voting, which typically favors Democrats, is statistically down compared to where it should be this time, 27 days leading up to the election. Do you have any of those numbers, and what does it say for your election?
Yeah, I do have the numbers. I'm doing it off my head, so please forgive any inaccuracies. But it looks like it's about 40% less than last time in 2020. And the number of Democrats asking for the ballots are way down, and the number of Republicans is slightly up. And so that I think that works to our advantage, since we do know, Amanda, that typically the Democrats overwhelmingly ask for the mail-in ballots. And so, you know, if you think about it strategically, Josh Shapiro is running out of time. If he's relying upon mail-in ballots, he's way, way behind Our hope is, of course, if you can't vote on Election Day, vote now. But obviously, we're pushing real hard for, you know, in person on Election Day, if you're able to do so. So we're only 27 days away. And, you know, the people in this great Commonwealth get to pick their governor. And so don't stand aside. If you don't like the lack of law and order, and if you don't like choice and your freedoms protected, then get up and do something about it and vote on November 8th.
Yeah, there's no doubt that's the best solution for everybody in Pennsylvania. Senator, you spent a lot of time talking about election integrity, the media mocks you, the Democrats mock you, and then all of a sudden, the Supreme Court comes out yesterday and says, hey, in Pennsylvania, if people don't fill out their absentee ballots, you're not supposed to count them. The highest court in the land agrees with what you were saying. What do you do between now and Election Day to make sure that that new sentiment from the Supreme Court gets enforced in Pennsylvania?
Yeah, that's a bit daunting because the Secretary of State, who's appointed by the governor, showing you how important this race is. I mean, this is just not another gubernatorial race. We have a lot of them going on around the nation. They're all interesting. They're all important. But this one here has national consequences. And the Democrats understand that. They know that 2024 goes through Pennsylvania. This is why the Democrats across the nation, hats off to them, have thrown $30 million into this race against me. We need the Republicans to step up because if we lose in Pennsylvania, I think the hopes of a Republican in 2024 become very narrow and slim. Our Secretary of State, though, issued a paper today saying basically that they don't recognize this decision. And so we're going to have a fight. I think the General Assembly might take that up. But what this means is very simple. You have to fill out your ballot correctly. Just like, you know, I voted most of my life by absentee ballot as a soldier for 30 years. Right. If you did not sign the ballot, it was very clear your vote wouldn't count. So if you can't simply follow the instructions on these ballots, the Supreme Court of the United States says, you know, that ballot won't be counted.
Yeah, common sense. You know it. You followed it for a long time serving our country. That's what people want, common sense. That's why they like you so much. Senator, great honor to have you on today. Thank you for joining us. Good luck in the final weeks.
Thank you. God bless you guys. I appreciate it.
All right, folks, we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, Ali Safavi, one of the leaders of the Iranian resistance movement, a member of the MEK of the National Council for Resistance of Iran, the Western-friendly Iranians who are trying to topple the mullahs and return Iran to a country of freedom and prosperity and alliance with the United States. He's going to give us an update on these massive protests sparked by the unruly, heinous killing of a young Iranian girl just because she let too much of her hair show. We'll talk about that right after this commercial message.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Welcome back, America. It's been a few weeks now since the heinous death of a 22-year-old Mahsa Amini by the religious police in Iran. That death has sent shockwaves through the country of Iran. It's in a tailspin right now as people from students to workers are striking, protesting relentlessly, resisting the mullahs that have controlled that country for nearly a half a century. Why was she killed? It's a very simple question. She showed too much hair. She didn't wear her hijab right. And for that, she was beaten to death. Our next guest, well, he's been fighting for Iran's freedom for decades. He is a leader in the Iranian resistance, the Council of Resistance of Iran. It's known as the National Council of Resistance of Iran. And he is my good friend, Ali Safavi. Ali, great to have you on the show.
Well, thank you very much, John. Great to see you. And thank you very much for inviting me. I'm looking forward to a very good conversation.
This is such a historic moment. I think the last time we had a moment like this might have been the summer of 09, the famous Green Revolution. Iranians are rising up together at great risk and personal harm because they say it's time to be free from the theocratic regime that has suffocated them for five decades. Tell us the latest of what you're seeing and hearing on the ground.
Well, of course, obviously, the protests, as you said in the beginning of the show, are continuing as we speak. Today was the 29th day of the uprising, which has now spread to more than 190 cities. All of Iran's 31 provinces are involved. The regime obviously has reacted with brute force. Some 400 protesters, mainly young people, many children actually, have been killed, have been shot and killed. And about 20,000 have been arrested, and there are reports of widespread mistreatment of those who have been detained. The regime has now drafted plans to send some of the kids, you know, who are 14, 15, 16, the Gen Z generation, if you will, to psychiatric wards to rehabilitate them, which is, of course, against every recognized law and principle governing treatment of children. And UNICEF has spoken out on this, as has Amnesty International. That said, the sheer violence of the security forces has failed to quell the rising tide of protests in Iran. And in fact, there has been a call for tomorrow, also in all major cities of Iran, for people to come out and voice their opposition to this regime and calling for the overthrow of the mullahs.
Yeah, it's such an extraordinary moment. There was an interesting pivot this week by Democrats in Washington. Barack Obama, Joe Biden received a lot of criticism for not supporting the protesters more in 09. And early on, they haven't done a whole lot to stand behind the protesters at this movement. But Tuesday night, I think it was, or Wednesday night, Barack Obama came out and said, "I stand with the protesters." About 24 hours after that, Joe Biden filed and said, "You know what, I'm done with these nuclear negotiations." Do you think belatedly this administration might be getting the message this is a moment that you could potentially topple the regime?
Well, they'd better get it. Let me put it that way. Because if what the protesters are saying on the streets is any evidence, they've said we'd rather get killed by the bullets rather than die of attrition, of constant harassment every day of Iranian people. And again, I want to emphasize, by the way, John, that yes, indeed, the tragic death of Mahsa Amini sparked the protests. But right now, Iranians are way beyond that. They're calling for regime change. The most prevalent chant in virtually every city in Iran that has been a protest is death to the dictator and Khamenei must go. They're also chanting death to the oppressor, be it the Shah or the leader, Khamenei, which means that they don't want any form of dictatorship, whether the previous regime that ruled Iran for half a century or the current regime. So I think it is high time for the administration to do several things. One, to ensure that Iranian people have access to unhindered internet, to keep the flow of information going, and second, to be able to communicate with one another. Secondly, I think the administration should make a very clear statement, unequivocal statement, that it supports the right of the Iranian people to defend themselves by any means against this obvious onslaught and aggression against the defenseless people. This is a right that has been recognized not only in the American Declaration of Independence, but also in the preamble to the Universal Declaration of Human Rights. And because Iranians must be able to fight against the Revolutionary Guards opening fire on them, beating them brutally, and so that they can achieve what they've set out to achieve, and they promised to do that.
Yeah, such an important moment in history to do the right thing. I want to ask you about Europe. It seems as though the opinion is beginning to change in Europe. We've talked about what the U.S. should do. Tell us about the European reaction to the uprising and what they can do in Europe to be more supportive.
That's a great question. As you know, of course, for many years now, the Europeans have been sold on this JCPOA, trying to provide concessions, unwarranted concessions, to the regime to bring it back to the fold. But, of course, now with what has happened inside Iran, I think they are beginning to realize that the future belongs to the Iranian people, and this regime is on borrowed time. That is why we've seen Germany, which is the number one trade partner with Iran, has introduced a series of punitive measures that come Monday, the EU foreign ministers are going to discuss in Luxembourg. Yesterday, some 170 members of the European Parliament signed a statement calling for recognition of the right of the Iranian people to defend themselves. Also, some 103 members of the Council of Europe signed a similar statement. There have been also statements by members of the British Parliament. The government of Canada imposed some sanctions on the Iranian regime, as has Australia and Norway and other countries. So I think that gradually, I think that steadfastness and perseverance of the protesters on the street is dictating itself and telling the world, telling the Europeans and the American government that they should invest on the Iranian people. They should be on the right side of history, not invest on a regime which is on its way out. And I think what is very, very important, John, what you see transpire in the streets of Iran, the prominent role that women are playing is not a coincidence. The resistance, the Iranian resistance, which, as you know, is being led by a woman, has been working diligently for the past 43 years, and especially in the last 4 or 5 years with the resistance units who are active in virtually every Iranian city. And today, they are the ones who are guiding and directing and helping the protests move on despite the repression that the regime has imposed upon the Iranian population.
Yeah, such an amazing thing. And Mahsa Amini is obviously the young woman who lost her life and ignited this moment. There's this perception in America that all we see is death to America in these crowds, but those are all staged things by the regime. Most Iranians, particularly young, they crave American freedom. They crave the West. Can you tell us, we got about a minute left, tell us what the real people of Iran want, not the ones we see in those staged protests.
Well, I think one of the very famous slogans that we have heard chanted not only in Tehran but other cities of Iran over the past few years is, when the enemy is right here, they lie when they say it's America. So clearly, the people of Iran view the regime that is ruling them as their number one enemy, the source of their misery and their terrible predicament economically, socially, because they have been denied their rudimentary fundamental rights. And so, of course, the regime tries to always portray any form of protest as an act of conspiracy by America and foreign countries. But the fact is that the source of the issue is within Iran itself, the unanswered, unresolved social, political, and economic grievances. And so, in that sense, the Iranian people have only one enemy, the mullahs who are ruling them. And that is why, for example, in the 10-point plan that is envisioned by Mrs. Rajavi, the Iranian resistance as president-elect, peaceful coexistence with the rest of Iran's neighbors is one of the items of that 10-point plan.
Yep.
As well as, of course, gender equality and equality for all Iranian minorities, whether religious or ethnic. So, as you said, we are at a watershed moment about Iran, and I think it is high time that the United States and the European Union Absolutely. And European countries stand with the people of Iran so that they can achieve what they have been yearning for and fighting for.
That is a message, Ali. That's a message, Ali, that is loud and clear. We have to do it now. All right, folks, get your country guitars out. Get your big cattle hats on. You know why? Right after the commercial break, John Rich is joining us, one of country music's biggest stars and a man who is bucking the industry, rejecting wokeism, and cutting his own path. And I think he may create an entire new way for music to get to you and me and everyday Americans, especially with so many of the big tech companies and the recording companies in the hands of woke liberals. He did it by launching a song called Progress on Truth Social, roared to number one. That's right, roared to number one in all music charts on Apple by bypassing the entire industry and just launching on Truth Social and Rumble. They had a big party in Nashville earlier this week. We got some time with John. We're going to cover that right after this commercial break.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait till you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the no animals were harmed message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Stick your progress where the sun don't shine. Keep your big mess away from me and mine. If you leave us alone, well, we'd all be just fine. Stick your progress.
The home of country music. That's right, Nashville, Tennessee. That's where an important event is taking place to advance free speech and fighting censorship. Country star John Rich is hosting the Swarway at his home to mark his historic collaboration with Truth Social and Rumble Video that bypassed the industry gatekeepers and catapulted his new song, Progress, to the number one chart on the Apple charts. John Rich, great to have you, sir.
Hey, good to be with you guys.
It's such an amazing moment. Just a few months ago, you took this big risk, right? You bypass the industry, you go on Truth Social, you go on Rumble, you take a song to number one. What has happened and what's been the reaction? What's happened since that moment?
Well, listen, it's pretty incredible to be able to hit the number one spot on downloads. So it wasn't just in country music. It was actually all genres. It was, didn't matter who it was. I was sitting at number one for 12 days amazing. In a row. Number two was Beyonce, and number three was Lizzo. So that kind of gives you an idea of who we were competing with, you know, the biggest artists in the world. And the song Progress itself was really written out of my personal feelings and frustrations that all the bad things we see going on in our country are being thrust upon us under the banner of the word progress. And as I'm looking at that, I said, that's the last thing I would call progress. I would not call that gas price progress. I would not call the grocery prices progress. I would not call fentanyl in all of our neighborhoods progress. I would not call the border being wide open progress. I would not call my kids being indoctrinated at school progress. If that's progress, they can stick it where the sun don't shine, which is a really nice PG way of saying, you know what. So I pulled out an old Gibson guitar and wrote this little chorus for the song. And I called up two of the best songwriters in Nashville, Jeffrey Steele and Vicky McGeehee. Both are former BMI Songwriters of the Year. Jeffrey Steele is actually in the Songwriters Hall of Fame. I mean, one of the biggest we've ever had. And they felt the same way. And we wrote this simple little country song. And I decided to not use Twitter, not use Facebook, not use YouTube, because one of the lines in the song, John, says, they shut down our voices. And by they, I mean those platforms, YouTube, Twitter, Facebook. They don't like what you have to say. They just shut you off. So I thought, well, how hypocritical would it be of me to use those platforms to promote this song? I'm not going to do that. So I called up Truth. I called up Devin Nunez. We hit up Chris over at Rumble and said, hey, what if we just launch it with Rumble and Truth? Let's just see what happens. And within 6 hours of Progress being released on those two platforms, it was the number one song in the world.
Amazing.
I love it. And I wanted to ask you, you know, we've seen the landscape of something like news media change. Back in the day, everybody tuned in to certain legacy news networks. And then with the advent of internet and social media, we saw more news organizations like this one move to the forefront of people's news consumption. And I see something similar happening in the music industry, because the old model that you basically broke free from, where you have a record label who basically controls you, your likeness, your image, your music. They oftentimes own the catalog. They pay for the spins on radio stations. We're seeing that shift into something that you are doing, like you did with Progress. Do you see that becoming the new platform and landscape for the music industry, much like we saw that type of change happen in the news industry?
Well, I do think that this success of this song Progress and the way that we did it definitely shows a new path that you can take, because you just said it very well. You've got all these artists, these American artists, songwriters, singers, creative people, that they have something they want to say. That's what it means to be an artist. It means it's personal to me. I'm the only one that's going to really say it like that. And then you've got the big record labels that say, well, you can say whatever you want as long as we agree with it. Well, that's not what America's about, and that's damn sure not what music is about. I mean, the greatest music in America always cut across the grain. It was always those controversial subjects that became the biggest songs out there and the biggest artists. And so the labels are trying to choke that out of these writers and singers. And I think what I was able to do with Truth and with Rumble is just show, hey, guys, there is another way. You can still compete at the highest levels and sit at number one for many, many, many days without bending the knee to their machine. So I don't know how many artists are going to be able to replicate what I did, but I do know a lot of artists have called me and said, man, way to go. It's cool to see that can actually be done. And I think that courage is contagious, you know, and I've taken a lot of heat, a lot of friends I don't have anymore. I don't have the backing of the country music industry really much anymore. And that's okay. I would rather have my freedom of speech than their approval any day of the week.
Yeah, it's such an amazing disconnect, too, because country music represents an entire nation that loves freedom, loves the things you sing about. They seem to be disconnected from their audience. What is the next step? So now you've broken through a ceiling. This is a major moment. How do you build momentum around creating an alternative way of getting music around the gatekeepers?
So since Progress went and had its big success, I've already had two platinum acts that called me on the phone. They sat in this exact room here in my house and sat here and had 2 and 3 hour meetings with me and said, hey, I'm asking out of my record deal. And you're talking about people having big hit songs right now. Wow. I said, you're asking out of your record deal. Why? They go, because they're not going to let me sing what I want to sing. You're out here doing it with no record deal. I'm going to go get another company to get behind me that'll let me be myself. And I'm going to do what you did. So it's starting to happen already. And I think that is a very healthy thing. It's very American. I mean, America was built on the backs of people that said, I'm not going to take it anymore. And they formed their own country. I mean, that's the founding fathers. That's the attitude that they had. Yeah. You know, when something becomes tyrannical and you can't deal with it anymore, then that's when, as an American, you're supposed to break loose from that. And even though it's scary and dangerous and maybe not the most, affluent thing that's going to happen to you, go cut your own path. Be an American, be an individual, and make it count. And I see a lot of artists starting to do that.
Great advice.
I love it. And John, you know, I know that took a lot of courage to step out and use your voice, because like you said, for a lot of music artists, that voice is stifled for so long. But there's another artist who has come out and has joined you in the counterculture music revolution, Kanye West. I'd like to think that maybe you kind of gave him the courage and the boldness to step out and speak against what has become the status quo in the music industry. Would you like to take credit for that?
Absolutely not. I'm not even sure Kanye knows about me. He probably knows about me, but I've never met Kanye. But I will say he's another example. I don't agree with everything Kanye West says, but that's the point. I don't agree with everything he says or anything everybody says, right? I've got my own opinions. As artists, we're supposed to be allowed to go out and do that on our own. And if the big companies won't let us do it anyway. I mean, we just proved you can go out and compete at that high level. I just want Americans, whether they're, you don't have to be a musician, whatever your position is in life, whatever it is you do that makes you happy, your pursuit of happiness. That is why there are lines coming into the country and no lines going out, because we have the right not to be happy, the right to pursue happiness. And every human being on earth wants that. But as Americans, we are born with it. We wake up with it every morning. We go to bed with it every single night. I want every American to remember we have that right. Go out there and chase the thing that really makes you happy. That's what it means to be an American.
I know there's one other thing Americans want. More music from John Rich. What an honor to have you on, sir. We can't wait. We're going to have the rest of your party mates coming on right after this commercial break. Thanks for joining us. It was really great to have you on.
Thank you, guys. Keep doing what you're doing. Love y'all.
You too. All right, folks. We're going to take a quick commercial break. We'll be right back after these messages.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
What makes a life a good one? Is it the adventure you have? Or the friends you find along the way? Maybe it's pursuing your passion while striving to protect, defend, and save what you believe in every single day. So what makes a life a good one? In the Coast Guard, we think it's all of the above and more. But you'll have to find out for yourself. Visit GoCoastGuard.com to learn more.
All right, folks, that wraps up our Sunday brunch edition. Thanks for listening. Thanks for spending a part of your very important time on this weekend with us. Hope you enjoy the rest of the weekend. Watch some football, grab a glass of wine or a good case of beer. Have a great weekend. We'll be back Monday with regular programming. And until then, may God bless you and may God bless this extraordinary country of the United States. Like he always has, you've been listening to John Solomon Reports, the podcast from Just the News. And by the way, if you need a news fix today, I got the perfect thing. Go check out justthenews.com. Or better yet, download the Just the News app on the iOS or Android Google Play stores. Great way to watch, read, and listen, including this podcast. You can listen to it right on the app. May make it simple with that app. Go check that out. Do us a favor, download it, like it, let America know a little bit more about Just the News. All right, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you tomorrow. Thanks again for listening. You know what, folks? Stress may be why you can't lose weight. If you've got moderate to high stress like I do, a doctor-formulated weight loss supplement called Lean could be your solution. Chronic stress wreaks havoc on blood sugar, which can cause your body to store excess fat. Stress can also slow your metabolism, which fuels weight gain. And you know all about stress eating and sugar cravings, right? Now the good news. The studied ingredients in Lean have been shown to help maintain healthy blood sugar levels, help optimize metabolism, and keep your appetite under control. Now, if your life is a bit stressful like mine and you want to lose weight, add Lean to your healthy diet and exercise lifestyle. Now get 15% off and free shipping at takelean.com. That's takelean.com and enter the promo code JustNews15. That's the promo code JustNews15 at takelean.com. One more time, takelean.com. Statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease, and it's not a substitute or alternative for care from a healthcare provider. Hey folks, can your IRA or 401k stand up to the next financial crisis that our top economists are saying is right at our doorstep? By allocating a percentage of your retirement into physical gold and silver with a tax-free rollover, you can diversify and safeguard your holdings from a turbulent market and economic downturns. All you got to do is put your IRA back on the gold standard. With a multi-trillion dollar trade deficit and ongoing geopolitical instability, experts say now is the time to make the switch. Find out how to safeguard your assets with a tax-free rollover with a Genesis Gold IRA, the only IRA that can hold physical precious metals. Protect your retirement today with one simple phone call and receive your free gold and silver guide from my good friends at Genesis Gold. To do that, call Genesis Gold Group today at 800-200-200. G-O-L-D, gold. That's 800-200-GOLD. And find out how you can add precious metals to your IRA. One more time, let me give you the number. It's 800-200-4653. 800-200-4653, gold. Or visit them at genesisgoldgroup.com. Genesis Gold, welcome to the John Solomon, Just the News family.